We come this day to one of the inflection points in the year. No, it's not yet the spring game where everything turns around and the Huskers will have their perfect season starting now. It's good to hear it's not too soon to say that. Y'all got a sense of humor. I don't even know, so I'm sorry. You guys are a lot more awake than the 8 a.m. crew. I like that. I know at least when I put you to sleep, I can tell. But it's come to one of those inflection points in the church year where we have the opportunity to go with our Lord up to the mountaintop to pray, ostensibly. But when we get there, the Lord is transfigured. And then, in just the blink of an eye, again, everything's normal. I have a question. I know you're awake, but we're going to check and see just because. How many of you are people who like change or like surprises? You like to have a shock or a surprise, whether it's in a movie or in life, whatever's in that wonderfully wrapped package for your birthday. Got a whole bunch of Lutherans out there who don't like surprises almost as much as you don't like change. We got one, though. You can be Lutheran, too, and still like surprises. It's okay. Just not change. But I think as the disciples went with Jesus, with Peter, James, and John went with him, they weren't expecting what was going to happen next. I don't know if they liked surprise or if they didn't. The Bible doesn't tell us necessarily, but it does tell us that it was a bit of a surprising day because while Moses and Elijah came and Jesus was transfigured, his appearance became like the sun, and it had to be frightening on some level, but also exhilarating. For just a brief moment, that veil of humanity that Christ wore in this life was pulled back, and they were able to see him in all his glory and even hear God testify to who Christ is and what he was here for, to bring the gospel to the disciples and to live and to die and rise again. That being said, I don't know how I would have felt had I been there. We look back at our Old Testament reading and we have the chance to see just after Moses had sprinkled the people with the blood of the covenant, how he and the elders went up to see God and were present in heaven with him. Then the Lord called Moses up on the mountain, and incredible things. So many parallels there. That glory of the Lord present in the cloud, looking almost like fire, and the way that the cloud of the Lord's glory overshadowed all of them on that Mount of Transfiguration. It just seems like things fit together. We see those echoes throughout Scripture, the way that God works in similar fashions and reveals his plan for salvation gradually throughout history. First, we see it in the way that he gave the covenant with the people, the commandments and the law, and then later the way that Christ was revealed in all of his glory to Peter and James and John. We know it was central to the early church because in 2 Peter, the epistle, we see that he testified to that and that direct vision of who Christ was, that revelation that they were able to see. At the time of it, though, I have to say I sympathize a little bit with St. Peter, because I think he's the patron saint of, well, lots of things, I'm sure, but certainly also those who put their foot in their mouth, kind of like me, more often than I'd like to admit. You guys can smile and laugh at that one. You can be like, yeah, you do that. That's for sure. But I think in that moment when he was speaking, trying to come to words, trying to find a way in that incredible moment to extend it, that we see some of the joy that our God is able to bring out in us as he makes those works happen. He had been walking with Jesus for years by this point. Jesus was going to go down the Mount of Transfiguration and set his face towards Jerusalem and then head to the cross, mirroring the journey we'll be on in the next 40-odd days, a few extra there, but mirroring that path that we will take with Jesus as we walk with him to the cross. But I think in that moment, I can sympathize with Peter, where he wanted to extend that glory, that wonder, because the disciples had to have been wondering, because Jesus was clearly incredible and different. He worked miracles, and at the same time, he looked just like another ordinary person. It seemed at times that perhaps he was maybe a little bit too ordinary. Sometimes in our lives, as we look at all that happens, it seems that things are pretty ordinary. Maybe it's just my life. You guys may have much more exciting lives than I do. But sometimes it seems that there's not a whole lot of, we'll call them mountaintop experiences. Sometimes it seems, I mean, to be sure, they're there, but sometimes it seems like things are pretty ordinary, and for a guy who doesn't like either change or surprises a whole lot, when those moments come, they can be good or they can be bad, but it seems that things seem pretty ordinary. Earlier this morning, we had a baptism. Jordan Avery was baptized into the faith. She was adopted in the family of God. She became really and truly a child of God. But if you were just looking on and didn't know what was happening, it would look like a guy in a white dress was putting a little bit of water onto her head a couple times. And you didn't see like a big bright flash of light. It's not like a crown descended from heaven onto her head. And yet we know that the reality of her adoption as a child of God happened in that moment. We come forward to this altar in just a little bit to receive Christ's body and blood. We know we're communing with and participating in a very real way, the marriage feast of the Lamb, which is to come, and joining with all of the saints, past, present, and future, in some way we don't really understand, but they're very nice wafers, but it still seems very ordinary. Must have been how Peter and James and John often felt before they went on that mountain with Jesus and had that veil pulled back to be able to see what was really happening, what was really there, when they were able to see reality uncovered from that covering of ordinariness. It's the same way for us and in our lives. We receive God's gifts here in this place. We're able to take that word out with us as we go out into the community. We're able to live out the vocations that God has given to us in our lives. We're able to be people who are salt and light in the world. But sometimes we can miss, for all of the ordinariness, how much God has done in us and through us and for us and for those around us. Sometimes we lose sight of all of the incredibleness of the gospel and all that is ordinary, that which it's wrapped in. Sometimes we miss the fact that, or we get to a point where we're a bit numb to the fact of how incredible our salvation, our adoption, and the way that we're able to share that gospel with others really is. But in the midst of all of that, just as Peter and James and John were able to see for a brief moment, so also we will see that. So also will we on that last day when Christ comes in power. We look forward to that time when we're able to see Christ as he really is. I mean, in this life, a lot of you like chastise me and joke with me about my eyesight because I call you young lady and young man. Don't do that. Just let me do it, for one. But for two, it's a nod to that eternal future that we have with Christ, that perfection that we will have in that day, on that last day, that we look forward to. That wonderful time and that promise that we have in Christ through our adoption as sons and daughters of the one true God. You see, it's with that joy that we look forward, even though things may seem ordinary now. It's the promises of God have been given to us, and they're just as real in this moment of our lives as they will be on that last day. And even as we go down the mountaintop all too soon from where our Lord was transfigured and head into Lent and towards the cross, we know just on the other side that Easter waits. Amen? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.